Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this morning we will read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Narada's teachings to Vasudeva. And we will read text 32. It is really the definitive verse in Srimad Bhagavatam about Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Varanam Tushar Krishna Sangopangastra Parshada Yajyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedhasa. Translation: in the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So, there is an extensive purport here. Of course, this is the 11th canto, and Srila Prabhupada did not personally translate and comment on the 11th canto. However, our BBT commentators, at least as far as this verse is concerned, they have just presented Srila Prabhupada's commentary on this verse as it appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This verse is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there Srila Prabhupada gave an extensive purport. So that is really the purport to this verse as it's presented here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, purport. The same verse is quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela Chapter 3, Verse 52. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has given the following commentary on this verse. And so now, the rest of the purport, the entire purport, is just Srila Prabhupada's purport taken from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Srila Prabhupada says, this text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his commentary on the Bhagavatam known as the Krama Sandarbha, wherein he says that Lord Krishna also appears with a golden complexion. That golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age. That is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by Garga Muni, who said that although the child Krishna was blackish, he also appears in three other colors, red, white, and yellow. He exhibited his white and red complexions in the Satya and Treta ages respectively. He did not exhibit the remaining color, yellow gold, until he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, who is known as Gaura Hari, or Golden Hari. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Krishna Varanam means Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Varanam and Krishna Chaitanya are equivalent. the same Krishna. The same means the same word. The same word Krishna appears with both Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he always engages in describing Krishna and thus enjoying transcendental bliss by chanting and remembering his name and form. Lord Krishna himself appears as Lord Chaitanya to preach the highest gospel. Varnayati means utters or describes. Lord Chaitanya always chants the holy name of Krishna and describes it also. And because he is Krishna himself, whoever meets him will automatically chant the holy name of Krishna and later describe it to others. He injects one with transcendental Krishna consciousness, which merges the chanter in transcendental bliss. In all respects, therefore, he appears before everyone as Krishna, either by personality or by sound. Simply by seeing Lord Chaitanya, one at once remembers Lord Krishna. One may therefore accept him as Vishnu Tattva. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna himself. Sangopangastra Parshadam further indicates that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna. His body is always decorated with ornaments of sandalwood and with sandalwood paste. By his super excellent beauty, he subdues all the people of the age. In other descents, the Lord sometimes used weapons to defeat the demoniac, but in this age, the Lord subdues them with his all-attractive figure as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that his beauty is his astra, or weapon, to subdue the demons. Because he is all-attractive, it is to be understood that all the demigods lived with him as his companions. His acts were uncommon, and his associates wonderful. When he propagated the Sankirtan movement, he attracted many great scholars and acharyas, especially in Bengal and Orissa. Lord Chaitanya is always accompanied by his best associates, like Lord Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, and Srinivas. Srila Jiva Goswami cites a verse from the Vedic literature that says that there is no necessity of performing sacrificial demonstrations or ceremonial functions. He comments that instead of engaging in such external, pompous exhibitions, all people, regardless of caste, color, or creed, can assemble together and chant Hare Krishna to worship Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Varanam Tushar Krishnam indicates that prominence should be given to the name Krishna. Therefore, to worship Lord Chaitanya, everyone should together chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To propagate worship in churches, temples, or mosques is not possible because people have lost interest in that. But anywhere and everywhere, people can chant Hare Krishna. Thus, worshipping Lord Chaitanya, they can perform the highest activity and fulfill the highest religious purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a famous disciple of Lord Chaitanya, said, "The principle of transcendental devotional service having been lost, Sri Krishna Chaitanya has appeared to deliver again the process of devotion. He is so kind that he is distributing love of Krishna. Everyone should be attracted more and more to his lotus feet, as humming bees are attracted to a lotus flower. The incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also described in the Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, which appears in chapter 189 of the Dana Dharma Parva of Mahabharata. Srila Jiva Goswami has quoted this reference as follows: Subarna Varno Hemango Varangas Chandanangadi, which means, in his early pastimes he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body, smeared with a pulp of sandalwood, seems like molten gold. He has also quoted Sannyasa Krich Chamashanto Nishtashanti Parayana, which means, in his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order and is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. So that is Srila Prabhupada's purport to the same verse as it appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila chapter 3, verse 52. Let us just repeat the verse. Krishna Varanam Tushaya Krishna Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedhasa. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Uttanayashima Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharya Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Bhastachadesh Bhani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchikalpatrubhis Jagripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So as we mentioned, this is the main definitive verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is pointing out, identifying Lord Chaitanya as the Yuga Avatar in this age of Kali. And Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, we should also bear in mind, is the definitive literature amongst all the Vedic literatures. And the Vedic literatures are the definitive literatures amongst all literatures of any sort, and particularly, of course, like religious, spiritual, philosophical types of literatures which are trying to explain how to live and what is life and all these types of things. So the Vedas then are very special. Amongst the Vedas, the Srimad Bhagavatam is particularly special, and Srimad Bhagavatam is indicating Lord Chaitanya as the Yuga Avatar. Actually, one name of Krishna is Tri Yuga. Tri Yuga means three yugas, or particularly he who only appears in three yugas out of four. In other words, he does not appear in the fourth yuga. So that is a name of Krishna which is there in scripture. And that name is there in the sense that in the Kali Yuga, Krishna does not manifest himself as he, you could say, usually does. Usually does means that he appears as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and in very dramatic ways rights some wrongs and dharma samsthapanartaya re-establishes principles of religion when they are under terrible attack or even perhaps have been lost. So Krishna appears in many different forms. In the other three yugas, Satya, Treta, and Dwapara, and he does these things as Krishna himself. Of course, we know from Srimad Bhagavatam also, Krishna killed so many demons, and there were great spectacular battles, and then there were different. And in those battles, Krishna showed that he's not just some especially powerful warrior, prince, but he showed that he was completely superhuman. And then Krishna did other things, like he showed the universal form to Arjuna, and so many people saw it, and the demigods saw it. So, in other words, in many ways, it was clear that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He lifted Govardhan Hill. And so like this, Krishna did not really hide himself. Of course, in his pastimes in Vrindavan, he took the role of the child or young boy, and they were accepting him like that. But otherwise, in so many situations, Krishna was not hiding that he's the Supreme Lord. And then so many other avatars are there. Lord Narasimhadev, it is clear that he's completely beyond the standards for a human being or even for a lion, and so on and so forth. But in Kali Yuga, the Lord does not do like that. He doesn't really display the fact that he is God. And as a result, he is known as Triyuga. When the Lord appears in Kali Yuga, he appears as a devotee and completely takes the position of a devotee. And if anybody tries to tell him that actually you are the Supreme Lord, he denies it. He denies it. And he really rejects the idea strongly. Sometimes devotees would say that to Lord Chaitanya. He would put his fingers in his ears and just block his ears, and just, it was just very uncomfortable for him. And he would say, Vishnu, Vishnu, which is normally what devotees say, at least traditionally, if someone has glorified them in ways that they feel are inappropriate, they say, Vishnu, Vishnu. like, this is crazy. Stop it. So Lord Chaitanya would do that. Almost every time. Not exactly, literally every time, but practically every time. So like this, Lord Chaitanya, he really took the position of a devotee. Very explicitly and full time, the whole time. We explain sometimes about Krishna and Balaram. Well, we mentioned Srila Jiva Goswami actually describes that if anyone asks Krishna, who is God? Krishna, what does Krishna say? Krishna says, me. If someone asks Lord Balaram, who is God? Balaram says, Krishna. He's in the mood of the devotee himself. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's very nice description how, on the whole, so many of the avatars, they're actually in the mood of being devotees. Even though they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so, it begins with Lord Balaram. Even though he is the first expansion, and he is essentially exactly the same being in all respects, he has no less potency, no less capabilities. He is basically the same person, just in a different body. He has the same 64 qualities of Krishna, not just 60 as Lord Narayan has, lacking the other four. Lord Balaram has them all. But still, Lord Balaram, he likes to be a devotee. It is not just that because Krishna is more prominent, therefore Lord Balaram is just sort of forced into the background. And what can he do? So he just has to be a devotee. And he can't just, when people are glorifying Krishna, he can't just jump up and protest, hey, what about me? No. Sometimes it happens with people. There are two people and one job. And only one of them can have the job. Although two of them could do the same job. They're just as capable. But one of them gets the job, and the other one has to just do something else, and what can he do? But in the case of Balaram, it's not like that. It's not that he just has to play the second person, just has to be a devotee. And he has this unrequited desire to be God and show people he's God, but he just doesn't get a fair chance. No, he likes it. He enjoys it. He would do nothing else. He would really rather do nothing else, and he does nothing else. He is a devotee. That's his mood. That's the whole orientation of his consciousness and the whole orientation of his life. And as a result, he experiences great nectar, even greater than that experienced by Krishna. So there's very nice description in Chaitanya Charitamrita how when Lord Krishna returned to Goloka Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, so he was back there, and he was remembering, he was thinking, how nice it was to be there in Vrindavan and there on planet Earth with all my devotees. It was so wonderful. He was just relishing, remembering. And then Krishna was thinking, I enjoyed so much. I enjoyed so much, so many pastimes, so many wonderful devotees serving me so nicely. I was just enjoying it, practically unlimitedly. But then Lord Krishna started thinking about the gopis, the topmost devotees. They pleased me so much with their service. It was amazing. I enjoyed so much. But then an idea struck Krishna's mind. Krishna thought, yes, I was enjoying. It was just fantastic. But now I think about it, it seems the gopis were enjoying more than me. By serving me, they were enjoying more than I was enjoying by being served by them. So Krishna became very thoughtful. Oh, what does this mean? What are the implications of this? And then he started thinking about different particular gopis, special gopis, the Astasakis, Lalita, Vishaka, and Krishna understood. They were enjoying many times more than me, hundreds of times more than me. And then Krishna thought about Srimati Radharani. And Krishna understood she was enjoying pleasure from serving me so much more than I was enjoying. And Krishna was just thinking about this. And Krishna understood she was enjoying 10 million times more than me. And this is not just poetic language, just to somehow or other exaggerate or just really glorify Radharani. This is actually a fact. And Krishna realized that. And it astonished him completely. And Krishna thought, why can't I enjoy her? And then he thought, I can, why not? I'm going to. And then he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, who was Krishna in the mood of a devotee. And not just in the mood of a devotee, you know, like one of our nice devotees from ISKCON, the nation. But Krishna in the mood of the topmost, greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani. This is Lord Chaitanya. Completely in the mood of the devotee. Based on his desire, his understanding, it is clear it is much better to be a devotee. So I'm going to be a devotee. So when sometimes the devotees would remind him that actually you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as we mentioned, Lord Chaitanya would block his ears and say, Vishnu, Vishnu, stop it! Part of the idea was, you're trying to bring me down. You're trying to drag me down to the level of just being God. Please don't do that to me. Now I'm in the real position as a devotee. Let me stay there. So this is Lord Chaitanya. And therefore, Krishna is called sometimes Triyuga. And it is actually a fairly well-known name of the Lord. But that Triyuga name does not mean that he actually only appears in the three yugas, Satya, Treta, and Dwapara. But it is indicating that when he appears in the Kali Yuga, he appears as a devotee and does not really display his godhood much at all. Very little. And we see that in his pastimes, Lord Chaitanya very, very rarely displayed the fact that he was God. Although he did on a few rare occasions. So, Triyuga, that is one thing. But even when Lord Chaitanya appeared, there were other incarnations of the Lord with him. Advaita Acharya's incarnation, Lord Nityananda's incarnation. And then Virabhadra, the son of Lord Nityananda, is an incarnation. And there are a number of incarnations who appear in the Kali Yuga. But generally, they're all in other moods. Moods of being devotees, and the leader is Lord Chaitanya. And therefore sometimes people think that there really is no incarnation in Kali Yuga. And even we see here, as we mentioned, the Bhagavatam is the definitive literature amongst the Vedic literatures, defining so many things. How reincarnation works, how chanting works, in depth, what is the nature of the soul, what is the entanglement of the soul. Even there's a whole chapter dedicated to describing the predicament of the soul in the womb of the mother. So many things are described in Srimad Bhagavatam, and as we said here, this particular verse is the definitive verse in regard to Lord Chaitanya, but still, it's not that definitive. It's not like blatant that in the Kali Yuga, the incarnation is Lord Chaitanya. And he appears as the son of Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra and so on and so on. It's clear in principle, that's a fact. It's clear in principle, but in very specific personal terms, it's not so clear because Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, when Krishna appears in the Kali Yuga, he appears hidden. He appears as a devotee, and he really doesn't display the fact that he's God very much at all. And that's just the rasa. It's the mood. It's the whole orientation. So in keeping with that, here Bhagavatam, which is so definitive and clear in so many ways about so many things, is definitive in principle, but not in very direct personal terms. But for the devotees, they understand. This is actually indicating Lord Chaitanya. Even there was one recent quote-unquote, avatar. He passed away a few years ago. And he's been promoted and promoting himself as such. But then one time he found out that actually in scripture it says that the avatar for Kali Yuga promotes the Sankirtan Yajna. Quite late in the game, he somehow awoke to this revelation. And he started sending some of his people out on Harinam here and there. Only on Sunday mornings. Only in Dini areas. It wasn't really very bold, you know. The Sankirtan movement just taking on Kali Yuga. But rather like another part of the whole cheap attempt to somehow fool people that maybe he's God. Oh, look, he's promoting the Sankirtan Yuga. This is what scripture says the incarnation of God does in Kali Yuga. It's just another part of the bluff. There's an interesting description in Chaitanya Charitamrita towards the end of the Madhyalila, where Lord Chaitanya is instructing Srila Sanatana Goswami that they're talking about the different avatars. There's six types of avatars. There are Purusha avatars, Leela avatars, Guna avatars, Purusha avatars, Shaktyavesh avatars, and what? Manvantara avatars. Did I say one twice?
Purusha.
I said Purusha twice. Did I? Okay. So there's these six types of avatars. And Sanatana Goswami is inquiring from Lord Chaitanya about these six types of avatars. And of course, Sanatana Goswami, as a very exalted pure devotee and eternal associate of the Lord, he's well aware that Lord Chaitanya is the avatar for Kali Yuga, that he is an avatar, and he is taking the role of the avatar for Kali Yuga. But Sanatana Goswami is also very well aware that Lord Chaitanya did not like people identifying him like that and trying to glorify him like that and tell other people. It was very much an in-house understanding. But Sanatana Goswami, he thought, now we're talking about the Yuga avatars. Lord Chaitanya is in the role of the Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga. Maybe if I question him and inquire in suitable ways, maybe I can bring him to the point of admitting, all right, I'm the Yuga avatar. By clever questioning. Because, you know, if you learn how to question people, you can get people to admit almost anything. And you can certainly get people to admit many things they would rather not admit. Yeah. So Sanatana Goswami, he was very expert in, you know, it's like the science of negotiation, like that. So Sanatana Goswami is asking Lord Chaitanya that, okay, many different types of avatars. Let's talk about the Yuga avatars. Lord Chaitanya said, yes, very nice. And Sanatana Goswami said, what about Satya Yuga? There's a Yuga avatar in Satya Yuga? And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, of course. And explained about the Yuga avatar for Satya Yuga, who is actually Lord Kapila. And Sanatana was asking different questions, and like this, they had a little conversation about the Yuga avatar for Satya Yuga. And then Sanatana said, what about Treta Yuga? Is there a Yuga avatar in Treta Yuga? And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, of course. And very nicely explained, and Sanatana asked more questions. And then Sanatana Goswami said, what about Dwapara Yuga? Is there a Yuga avatar? Lord Chaitanya said, yes, of course. And again, discussion about the Yuga avatar for Dwapara Yuga. And then Sanatana Goswami said, but what about Kali Yuga? I heard that Krishna's Triyuga, he only appears in three yugas. But isn't there a yuga, Avatar and Kali Yuga? And Lord Chaitanya, he's in the mood, talking about the yuga Avatar mood. He's in a role, he's just talking about the yuga Avatars, he's into it. And so Lord Chaitanya said, yes, of course there's an Avatar. Who happened to be him. And Sanat Goswami wanting to lead Lord Chaitanya skillfully to that point where Lord Chaitanya would have to admit, okay, it's me. Sanat Goswami said, well, I heard the Yuga Avatar appears in Kali Yuga in a golden form. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, that's right. And Siddhartha Goswami said, I heard he appears and performs the Sankirtan Yajna. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, quite right. And Siddhartha Goswami asked another couple of clever questions. And Lord Chaitanya said, listen, Siddhartha, stop your clever questions. And listen to me as I explain about the Shaktyavesh Avatars. In other words, he changed the subject, which is part of the science of argument. When you're losing a debate or some sort of discussion, if all else fails, change the subject. But Sanatan, of course, he was just sort of transcendentally amused, understanding what was going on. So therefore, it is not really spelt out in so many words. Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga Avatar. But the devotees understand. The devotees understand. So here, certain characteristics are being mentioned in the verse. How do you recognize the incarnation, Yuga Avatar in Kali Yuga? Well, he is constantly singing the names of Krishna. This is what Lord Chaitanya was doing. At least particularly after his father passed away and he started manifesting himself as a devotee. Before Lord Chaitanya manifested himself as a devotee, he was also encouraging the chanting of Hare Krishna, but not so openly, and even in many cases, he was not encouraging, even discouraging. But, however, at other important times, he was clearly encouraging people to chant Hare Krishna because that was his mission. When Lord Chaitanya was a small child, we mentioned the other evening, as small children do, he was regularly crying, regularly, repeatedly crying. And the ladies didn't know what to do, how to pacify him, they just couldn't. They tried all the tricks in the mother's book, how to pacify your crying child. Because there are books, actually. But nothing worked. And one day, one of them got so frustrated, just couldn't pacify Lord Chaitanya, just kept on crying. One of the ladies said, oh, Hari, Hari! Meaning, basically, I'm fried. It was just too much. Oh, Krishna, oh no. That sort of mood. And lo and behold, little Nemi stopped crying. Just like that. And it was amazing. Oh, what happened? Was it the hurry, hurry? And then Lord Chaitanya started crying again. And then it was hurry, hurry again. And sure enough, he stopped. So this just became the program. It was just the program all day, every day. Lord Chaitanya would cry, they'd say, hurry, hurry, he'd smile. And then seconds later, he'd cry again, hurry, hurry, he'd smile. All day, all day, all day. Because this is his idea, to introduce the chanting, to get people to chant. And there are different situations which occurred in which Lord Chaitanya encouraged people to chant before his father left this world. And at that time he was initiated and Ishwarapuri gave him the Maha Mantra. And then he just became totally full time, 24 hours a day, engaged in chanting and spreading the chanting. So this verse then, it is pointing out this fact that when it comes to chanting the holy names, there was no one like Lord Chaitanya in terms of other spiritual leaders or other so-called avatars. And in the history of India, particularly in the history of the Kali Yuga, there have been many so-called avatars. And even within the line coming from Lord Chaitanya, there have been many so-called avatars, like reappearances of Lord Chaitanya, supposedly, who would be chanting a lot. And in this way, people would think, oh, look, he chants a lot. Maybe it's Lord Chaitanya again. But Lord Chaitanya, his chanting, it was not just that he chanted a lot. As Lord Chaitanya says himself in the third verse of Shikshastakam, Trinada Pisanichena Taro Ivasa Ishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Siddha Hari. One should chant the holy names in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. So actually, generally, Lord Chaitanya was chanting the holy names of the Lord constantly. He was not just, you know, like us. You know, so many of you nice devotees chanting 16 rounds and then you think, finish my 16 rounds for today. Okay, what next? Done what I have to do. Now let me do what I want to do. He was chanting always. So therefore it says here, the verse says, constantly singing the names of Krishna. To chant 16 rounds in the initial stages, it can be a challenge. Even there may be some of us sitting here in the room right now, perhaps, who are chanting every day, but cannot really manage 16 rounds yet, or have not yet come to that point. And, you know, from time to time we meet devotees who are initiated, etc., etc., but somehow some problem develops, and in some cases we find some of them are not chanting 16 rounds. But chanting constantly, that's another thing. And as Lord Chaitanya says in that Shikshastakam verse, you can only do it if you're really in a humble state of mind. Not just a little bit humble, you know, but not too humble, sort of medium humble. 50-50, or something like that. Trying my best. But truly humble. Truly humble. Lower than the straw in the street. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that verse, third verse of Shikshastakam, and he talks about this particular point, lower than the straw in the street. That the straw in the street just lies there, and people just walk on him or her. And the straw does not get up and say, "Hey, what are you doing? Walking on me." The straw just lies there, and that's it. All day, every day. And people just walk on the straw, and the straw just accepts it completely. Because the straw knows, I'm just a straw. I'm useless. I have no other use than a nose. So the straw has no false ego. He accepts his lowly position absolutely. But we, you know, if someone comes and walks on us or mistreats us, say, then in many cases we may react negatively, become angry, disturbed, or at least distressed. But the straw in the street doesn't protest, doesn't even become distressed, just accepts it completely. So in that sense, because we are more puffed up, we think, you know, don't speak to me like that. So actually our position is worse than the straw in the street because of our false ego. But Lord Chaitanya, when we hear the pastimes and consider the character of Lord Chaitanya, we see how humble Lord Chaitanya was. Extremely humble. Very, very humble. When, during the Mahaprakash Lila, when Lord Chaitanya was calling all the different devotees to come forward and glorifying them, he called forward Haridas Thakur, who was, by material standards, of a low birth. And Lord Chaitanya immediately began glorifying him. "Your birth and body is higher than mine." Although he was born, at least just by material standards, born in a high Brahmin family, very cultured and educated, highly educated, like that. So actually Lord Chaitanya was extremely humble and very respectful. Lord Chaitanya was cursed once. Some Brahmin got upset with him for some reason. And the Brahmin cursed him. "I curse you. You will have no material enjoyment in your life." And Lord Chaitanya did not throw himself at the person's feet and say, "No, at least let me have a little sometimes." Lord Chaitanya thanked him. "Thank you very much. That's wonderful. That's wonderful, so I'll have no material entanglement. You are my well-wisher." Another time, described also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya was being glorified as a devotee. "You have so much love of God. We've never seen someone with love of God like you have." And Lord Chaitanya just laughed and said, "Love of God? Me? I have no love of God at all. Nothing." He said, if I had love of God, how could I tolerate having this material body and living in the material world? It would be totally intolerable. I would just immediately go back to Godhead on the spot. But because I'm actually materially conditioned, therefore I'm very happily maintaining my material body in different ways, eating and sleeping, etc. In other words, Lord Chaitanya was very, very humble. And in many ways, Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting the fact that he was the Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga by chanting constantly, showing the symptoms of a person who is chanting constantly, always propagating the Sankirtan movement, always surrounded by associates who, as the verse says, intelligent people, great, great scholars like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, amazing intellectuals, and other very qualified people like Ramananda Roy, the six Goswamis, particularly Rupa and Sanatan. So in different ways, if we analyze and study a little bit, then we can see, it's not so difficult to see, that Lord Chaitanya is certainly showing the symptoms of the avatar, much more than others. Even others who chant the holy names, but they don't chant constantly. They can't chant constantly, because they don't have that consciousness. So like this, Lord Chaitanya is, for the devotees, it's clear that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the incarnation for for Kali Yuga. So, and then his color, his bodily color. His color was the same color as Srimati Radharani, molten gold. Here we read about, Prabhupada refers to Garga Muni in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, talking about the appearance, talking about Lord Krishna at his name-giving ceremony. And he said, this child appears in a white form, a red form, a green form, a blackish form, and a yellow form. So Lord Chaitanya, his bodily color, just like Srimati Radharani's, was not exactly just yellow, you know, like the Mridanga or something, just a yellow color. Actually, his color, like that of Srimati Radharani, was molten gold. I don't know if many of you have seen molten gold, being liquid gold being poured. It's amazing, actually. It's amazing. Effulgent, rich color. It's quite incredible. So, and that is just giving a hint of what Radharani's body looks like, or Lord Chaitanya's body looks like. So, it's not that Lord Chaitanya just had a sort of a yellowish tinge. His body was effulgent, rich, glowing, golden color. Extremely unusual. You don't see people like that. Yes, so in different ways, we get the idea that Lord Chaitanya is the incarnation of Krishna for this age. And particularly, he's teaching the chanting of the holy names. And Prabhupada in the purport, he speaks quite strongly that to propagate worship in churches, temples, or mosques is not possible. There's no necessity of performing sacrificial demonstrations or ceremonial functions. Instead of engaging in such external pompous exhibitions, all people regardless of caste, color, or creed can assemble together and chant Hare Krishna to worship Lord Chaitanya. So, we should really understand, of course, here we are in the temple in front of Nitai Gaurahari, and Srila Prabhupada, as he was preaching and spreading the movement, he established temples and centers of different types, and even some big temples in different places around the world. But ultimately, Lord Chaitanya is worshipped not so much just in the formal sense on the altar with aarti and puja and the different aspects of deity worship. Ultimately, for Lord Chaitanya, the temple is the street. For Lord Chaitanya, the temple is the street. Because the method is Sankirtan, not just Kirtan, but Sankirtan, the implication of which is going out in public, taking the holy names to the public, and involving the public in the process. This is actually the process, really. Chanting japa, of course, we chant 16 rounds, hopefully, or more. That's also got to be there. But the essence, the real form of the movement of Lord Chaitanya is that it's the Sankirtan movement. The devotees get together, go out in public, chant, give the chanting, spread the chanting, involve other people in the chanting. In this way, really develop Krishna consciousness, develop the Krishna consciousness movement. So, this is the process for Kali Yuga. This is the process for Kali Yuga. And we as devotees, aspiring devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement, we should try to get this point. And particularly if we want to be progressive in our Krishna consciousness and develop and advance in Krishna consciousness, we should consider, how can I help spread the Krishna consciousness movement? How can I help to take the Krishna consciousness movement out and take the chanting out and give it to people and get the people involved? And Lord Chaitanya was doing this. Of course, in his last years, he was in Puri and just absorbed in the mood of Radharani, her internal mood. But otherwise, Lord Chaitanya, he was spreading the Sankirtan movement so much. First of all, he spread it around Navadvip. And he even got the Chand Kazi to become a devotee. And actually, we were there about 10 days ago at the Samadhi of the Chand Kazi. And who was there but one Muslim, like Paka Muslim, the full outfit and everything, all the regalia, including the beard with no moustache. And he was sitting there. And we were there explaining some things about that pastime. And then he understood English. So we were explaining about it. And in the middle of it, he called out, "Radhe, Radhe." So Lord Chaitanya was spreading the Sankirtan movement very actively and very strongly. And then later, when he was touring South India, he was spreading the Sankirtan movement. Wherever he'd go, he was just walking here and there, and he would chant. And then through the Jarakanda forest, when he was on his way, trying to go to Vrindavan, chanting and getting the animals to chant. So this is Lord Chaitanya. It was just chanting, 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 and giving the chanting in a huge way, in a massive way. So like this, we accept Lord Chaitanya as the incarnation for Kali Yuga, and as his humble servants, we should follow in his lotus feet, at least in this regard, and really try to spread the Sankirtan movement. Hare Krishna. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
Jai.
Shri Gopanima Mahotsava ki
Jai.
Shri Prabhupada ki
Jai.
Gopremanande
ki
Hare Krishna. Anyone want to make any comments? Tribhanga Sundar Prabhu. Comments?
That's interesting when you said chanting constantly. In fact, there's also a reference by Srila Prabhupada in regards to that. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya was asked who's a Vaishnava, and then obviously when he was asked who was the Vaishnava by devotees who came to the Jagannath festival from Bengal, he replied that obviously the Vaishnava is one who constantly chants Hare Krishna. Of course, the word that was used there in that particular context was nirantara, which means without cessation, and that means constant. So Maharaj made a good point about just chanting 16 rounds and leaving it there. But obviously, nirantara means without cessation, and that obviously makes us advance, and obviously that is the topmost category of the Vaishnava. And we understand that there are different categories, Kanishtha, Madhyama, Uttama. But the Uttama is constantly chanting without cessation. So, and the other question I might. Okay, the other question I have is, Lord Chaitanya inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, and obviously in the form of the Harinam parties that go on the street. So one may question, isn't that sufficient? Like going out, like in Prabhupada started the movement with very limited resources. I heard that a lot of Prabhupada's disciples were saying that they would go out every day on the streets, and they would sometimes go out for 10 hours or 12 hours non-stop, just beating the drums and dancing and chanting. And sometimes the devotee who was beating the drum, he was bleeding because, you know, constantly chanting and playing mridanga. So obviously we don't have that mood today as much as it was in those days. But then someone might question then, what, isn't that sufficient going out regularly? Because that is the way we plant the seed in the hearts of the devotees, or at least the karmis, for bhakti. The bhakti bee is planted. So one may question, is it necessary to spend so much money, for instance, on festivals, when that is such an inexpensive way of doing things?
That's a question.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Srila Prabhupada, one of his many, but in one sense his special, most special contribution to the Sankirtan movement is that Srila Prabhupada, after some time, placed an emphasis on distributing books as Sankirtan, as a form of chanting, and the distribution of the books as a form of Sankirtan. So Prabhupada did that. I remember when I joined, yes, we just went out and chanted. That's just what we did. We had breakfast, we'd go out by sort of 9:30 or whatever it might be, and we would chant up and down the main street of London. And then when it was like 12:30, quarter to one, we'd come back and have lunch. And when we finished lunch, we'd go back out on the streets and chant till like about 6 o'clock. And one of the first things I remember from joining the temple in London was losing my voice from chanting so much. In cold, it was midwinter in London, it was very cold. But then otherwise, Prabhupada certainly encouraged and practiced the spreading of Sankirtan, the spreading of Krishna consciousness, and the spreading of the chanting in different ways, including festivals. Prabhupada had the devotees put on big Rath Yatra festivals, and also Prabhupada encouraged prasadam distribution in the context of Sankirtan. So in other words, the idea of Sankirtan, the Sankirtan movement, the spreading of the chanting of the holy names, is not just limited to simply chanting the holy names as such, although certainly it should be done. And I don't know about here how we're doing, you know, sometimes people ask me, how is the movement doing? Wow, what a question. Because, you know, the movement is in so many places and is doing differently in so many places. So to just give a whole generic across the board, the movement is just doing great, or the movement is struggling, or the movement is just one thing, it's very hard. It's not possible to do, I'd say, you know, in a very accurate way. So in some places, Harinam is going on more than others. In some places, it's really going on a lot. In some other places, it's even not going on at all. In some places, at least in terms of going out in public and taking the chanting to the public, there are some places where it's not going on at all currently. And you know, when it comes to festivals, well, it depends. Festivals can be done in different ways. And it would really, to analyze a particular public festival and to see whether, you know, it's been done as effectively as possible, or it could be done more effectively in some ways, or, you know, certain considerations like that. It would take an analysis, a real, like a careful analysis of what is the festival and all the different aspects of it. And of course it's possible to make mistakes in organizing a festival. And yeah, it's possible to do it quite nicely. It's possible to do it very nicely. It's possible to do it extremely nicely. It just depends how it's organized. You know, like we would say, we do say, that our program, I was thinking about it this morning, the program we have at Bhaktivedanta College is going on in many places around the world, of educating mainly the members of the movement in Prabhupada's books and scripture, the philosophy and understandings of Krishna consciousness. That's only been going on, I don't know exactly, maybe 15 or 20 years or something like that. It was not going on when I joined. And you know, it was only in the last, I don't know, like I say, maybe 15 or 20 years it really started. But it's an aspect of the Sankirtan movement. It's all part, you know, it's not like a foreign thing separate from the principle of Sankirtan. So, you know, some might say we should just go out and chant. End of story. And in principle, it's not really wrong. How could it be wrong? But, you know, Prabhupada showed by his own example so clearly in putting emphasis on book distribution. I remember when it happened. It was a whole shift in understanding. And there was controversy. You know, what are we doing? We're going to stop chanting or do less chanting. And we're going to be selling things and getting money. And I mean, really? And there were considerations like, well, maybe we should have a Harinam party with devotees distributing books by the party. Maybe that's how we should do it. You know, all different ways of applying this idea of Sankirtan creatively. So, but Prabhupada, sure, he really wanted us to distribute books. And he really considered that a very important form of Sankirtan. And again, you know, it can also be done in ways which are not so good, like lying to people, cheating people of money, and things like that. And the same with festivals. They can be done in this way, in that way, different ways, but to really comment, you know, in an accurate and meaningful way, one would need to analyze carefully the real facts of what is the festival or the whatever it may be, the particular methodology being used for spreading the Sankirtan movement. Yeah. You know, I would say it is a much greater problem that we're not doing enough Harinam than, you know, maybe we're doing a festival in a way that could be done better. I mean, on the whole, for years, like, let's face it, here in Gauteng, we really haven't been doing a lot. We really haven't. And it's a shame. I mean, we've been doing some, and more recently, been doing more, and that's all good, it's great. But on the whole, if we look back over the last 10 years or several years, we haven't been doing a lot of Harinam, all these things. Yeah. So yeah, let's have good festivals, really nice Krishna conscious festivals, and take them to the public and get them involved. And let's get out on Harinam and really, you know, do it. And book distribution, let's distribute books more. We need to do all these things more and do them nicely. Any comment from you?
One of the quotes that we use in an unrelated program, Srila Prabhupada, we give the definition of japa and we give the definition of kirtan from Prabhupada's books. And there's one definition of kirtan which Srila Prabhupada says that writing books, distributing books, cooking for Krishna, daily worship, writing for Krishna, even eating prasad is all kirtan. So it's all the form of congregation, propagating the Lord's glories and sankirtan. Propagating the Lord's glories is included in all aspects.
Just one comment in connection with what you said, which was interesting. Srila Prabhupada, when he met Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Giriraj Maharaj once in Bombay, he was telling them that actually, we should chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. That is what we should be doing. But he said, because you can't do it, I have to create all these other projects. And one time I was driving with Giriraj Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj in the car. This is a connection with Balaram that you mentioned. So he turned around to Giriraj Maharaj and asked Giriraj Maharaj, so Giriraj, tell me, who is stronger, Krishna or Balaram? And Giriraj Maharaj thought, he said, it's Krishna. Because Balaram is leaning on him. And Prabhupada said, yeah, that's the answer.
Kulashekhar Prabhu, you want to say something? Okay. Okay.
Is it correct to think that although Swarup Damodar Goswami knew the mind of Lord Chaitanya better than anyone else, but Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Rai about the goal of life, the reason being that Swarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita Devi, who has a nature of being bold and fiery, and Ramananda Rai is Vishakha Devi, who has a soft and sweet nature born on the same day as Radharani.
Wow. Oh, so very elevated. Vishakha is pretty bold also, if you look at their natures, but Lalita is more bold. Well, I think we should just appreciate how wonderful they are, not worry about it too much. They're just such exalted, incredible personalities. Such amazing personalities. But Lalita is closer. She's the closest. Our friend of Radharani's. And Vishakha's next, but Lalita's closer. That's a fact. Yeah. In Krishna Lila. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
jai.
Shri Gopalila Mahotsava ki
jai.
So have a nice Gopalila, everyone. Don't forget our children. We are fasting till moonrise. And here in Nitai Gaura Hari Temple, for us, moonrise will be about 9:30. In other words, the program will go on from 5:30, and unless you want to be a little bit of a cheater and sit out and take supper aside, we should all probably stay in the temple for the whole program and take prasadam at 9:30. Chanting, dancing, and fasting. Hare Krishna.